A letter by W.C. White, Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales, October 23, 1899. Professor Percy T. McGann, College, Battle Creek, Michigan. My very dear brother, yesterday morning mother returned home after an absence of 12 days at Toowoomba, Queensland camp meeting. Before mother came, I had been reading and studying your letter of August 3, and in the afternoon mother and I read it over again together and had a long talk about its contents. I would read one paragraph at a time and then ask questions, and she gave me very fully her views regarding most of the important questions in her letter. As I read your letter over by myself, my mind ran rapidly over our experience for many years and in many places, recalling the circumstances which have attended building operations and the raising of money in behalf of school enterprises. In many cases, we have failed to take full account of the magnitude of the work we are undertaking and of the laborers that will be required to place this enterprise fully before the people and to secure their financial support. We have felt that there were a few men who had influence with the people to secure money, and that we must leave the raising of money until such a time as they had the most favorable opportunities for presenting it to our people at camp meetings and in large annual gatherings. In thus depending upon a few men to do this work, we have failed to set apart for the business management and financiering of each important enterprise men who would give the work their undivided time and attention, men who could go from church to church and from home to home and present the enterprise to each family and each individual who was able to help. We have felt that the building must be done at the most favorable time of the year and buildings prepared for a certain date, and have expected that money would be raised when the work was in progress or shortly afterward by the few men upon whom we have laid this heavy burden. I think it is evident to all that hereafter we must follow a different course, that each important enterprise requires a setting apart of men to give that enterprise their undivided attention, and it is not best to draw upon our institutions, but that we should go directly to the people. Another matter which impressed itself forcibly upon my mind was the importance and necessity of having able financiers connected with each one of our schools as members of the school board, one of whom should devote his entire energies to the building up of the business and financial interest of the school. Here underlined in Sister White's handwriting, Amen and Amen, E.G. White. As regards the price of tuition, Mother does not seem to be free to name any exact sum, or to say that you should raise your rates above $17.50 a month. She is positive and clear in her statements that for a long time in the past the tuitions at Battle Creek have been too low, and that the influence of the Battle Creek School upon other schools in the matter of low rates and in the style of furnishings and in the matter of connecting labor with study was for many years a great drawback to the adoption of correct principles by the younger schools. As regards to the matter of lessening wages, Mother says that the same principles must be applied here as by our ministers and by the employees of our other institutions. The Lord calls upon teachers as well as upon ministers to adopt simple economical habits of living, to bring their home expenses to as small a sum as possible, and to voluntarily offer to accept lower moderate wages, especially during this time of great financial pressure. Mother has no sympathy for or confidence in the movement set on foot at the last General Conference to cut down the faculties of our schools to a point where individuals must overwork in order that good and faithful instruction shall be given. There is no doubt, but in many of our schools there are officers and teachers doing but little work, and some doing unnecessary work, and it was the duty of the school boards to correct this evil, but the position taken that when correct methods of education are adopted, a less number of teachers will be required than in other schools Mother does not sanction. This idea was brought forward here by the leading members of the Avondale School faculty, and repeated efforts were made to economize by requiring a large amount of work from a few teachers. This was done at a time when we all believed that the running expenses of the school were greater than its income, and the cutting down of the faculty seemed to be a financial necessity. But the testimony came repeatedly saying, "You have none too many teachers, and we are continually exhorted to do better work." We accepted the counsel, strengthened our faculty, developed our outside enterprises, and found at the end of the year that by God's blessing all expenses had been met excepting one half of the interest on our interest-bearing debts. In answer to your question, if wages should be reduced to a still lower figure than what you have adopted, Mother says, not by the school board, but if there are families whose expenses can be made light, let them voluntarily accept as low wages as their circumstances will permit, and thus set an example in self-sacrifice in this time of great financial perplexity. When prosperity returns, let the wages be restored to a normal figure, so that the teachers will have wherewith to assist other missionary enterprises. At a time like the present, when the expenses of the Battle Creek College are so large, it may not be possible to conduct the school that its income will cover interest, insurance, and the many improvements, but in the management of our schools generally, all the expenses, including interest, ought to be kept in view in the setting of prices for tuition. Mother says, at a time like this, our conferences ought to make double effort to assist the schools by supplying efficient men to teach the Bible and labor for the spiritual interests of the students. Mother also says that the men who were largely responsible for the decision of the school board and the General Conference Committee regarding the erection of the school building should not excuse themselves now from responsibility, but they should unite with the present managers of the school, with the conference committee, and with the managers of the Review and Herald, the Sanitarium, the Pacific Press, and other institutions in an effort to lift the burdens off the schools. As regards the north addition to the school building, which was erected with a view to conducting large ministerial schools, and which is now used by the Medical Missionary College, Mother says that the General Conference should feel and share its responsibility, and that the burden of maintaining the expense of this building for the Medical Missionary College ought not to be allowed to rest upon the Battle Creek College. In a letter which I have just written to G.A. Irwin, a copy of which I send with this, you will find outlined the plan which Mother proposes regarding a united effort to lift the burden of the debt from our schools. Please give this prayerful study and write us what you think about it. Bear in mind that the publication and the sale of one of Mother's books is only one of many plans that may be adopted for the lifting of this burden. If our brethren take this matter upon their hearts and pray for wisdom, God will open to their minds many ways to help. And as fast as money comes in to pay the college debts, it will release capital to be invested in other enterprises connected with the cause. Thus, every $1,000 brought into the treasury of the Battle Creek College is not only stopping $50 a year to the college, but it is placing capital in the hands of Review and Herald, Professor Prescott, and others to be used in the general work. Let no one feel that our schools are not a part of the General Conference. Neither Mother nor I can understand what is meant by your statement that they say the General Conference is the field, and therefore the college must not make a public appeal for money to pay off its creditors. Mother bears a very strong testimony against the medical missionary workers, the college men, or those engaged in the publishing work, entering the field without consultation and sanction from the General Conference Committee, and especially if working with any spirit of rivalry and endeavoring to build up their work by making unfavorable comparisons, showing that other branches of the work are inferior to theirs, that they may raise money for the institutions which they represent. Her views are that we should do now, as has been done in the past, let the men representing the different enterprises meet with the members of the General Conference Committee and prayerfully consider plans and ways and means for building up all branches of the work, then agree upon such plans for presenting the work as will show the people that it is a perfect unity and that there is no rivalry, and raise money in such a way as that the building up on one enterprise will not tear down another. Mother makes one important exception to the above plan. She says that whenever the Lord has plainly spoken regarding an important work that is being neglected, as in the case of the work among the southern people, and then the General Conference continues to neglect it, that the workers connected with this missionary enterprise are free to go to the churches anywhere and everywhere and raise means for the prosecution of the work that has been plainly pointed out should be done. So she says regarding the schoolwork, if the General Conference Committee should refuse to cooperate in an effort to relieve the indebtedness of our schools, it would be right for the schoolmen to go into the field and appeal to churches and individuals. But we have no reason to believe that there will be any necessity for independent action. We believe that the members of the General Conference Committee stand just where Mother has stood for some time, waiting for the school boards to place their work on a sound basis, feeling that this is necessary before we can hope for the blessing of God, without which our efforts will be of no avail. Mother is much interested in the progress of your industries, and she pleads that our brethren throughout the field who are successful farmers, mechanics, and businessmen shall turn their talents of money, experience, and skill to the establishment of church schools, which shall be surrounded with industries that will enable the students to earn tuitions in part or in whole. Mother is much interested in the schools you have established in Cedar Lake and Wisconsin, but she says these ought not to be called state schools. She says let them serve that portion of the state which is nearest them, and let other similar schools be established in other portions of the state. Here, signed in Sister White's handwriting, Ellen G. White. You may make copies of this if you think best and send to the principals of the other schools. Yours very truly, W.C. White.